bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the hosts or guests of the following program may or may not be those of the staff or management of CTK World Radio.
Welcome to Jewish View Program. With your host today, Dennis Tilon. This is a special program that we would like to learn about our roots from the Jewish people. And today we are very lucky to have Rabbi Hananiah Cohen, who is originally from Israel. Welcome, Rabbi Hananiah.
Thank you, and Dennis. Pleasure to be here.
Yes, it's great that we have you today. Now, I would like to ask you, because our audience kind of unfamiliar with who you are, can you please share who you are?
Of course. Well, you mentioned my name is Hananiah Cohen. Hananiah means blessed by God, with wisdom and prosperity. And Cohen is the, if you read the Bible, you know that Cohen is the priest in the temple,
high priest,
and also the regular priest, all belong to the tribe of Levite.
Okay, so everybody that has Kohen as their family name is from the high priest?
Not the high priest, but from the same tribe.
Okay.
High priest was, of course, on the top of the hierarchy, but you have other Kohanim, other priests that do all kind of assignments and jobs in the temple.
Right.
And the main job was to educate people. Mm-hmm. What to keep, how to keep, and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I'm here to teach, not to preach.
Uh-huh.
And I moved to United States from 8 years ago from Israel. And I have my family here with me.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and 3 boys.
Right.
And I'm also, as you mentioned, a rabbi. And I am a rabbi that follows, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit on that because it's important, not too many people knows, to what we call the Sephardic world. Sephardic means people from Spain. I'm going to give you a quick history view on it.
Yes, please. Yes.
After the destruction of the temple, some of the Jews went to Babylon. Some of the Jews went to Europe, in two places mainly. Also after the Roman Empire conquered and destroyed the Second Temple. So some went to Italy, France, and a lot of them went to Spain. So those who went to France, what later became Germany, all that area, are what we call the European Jews or Ashkenazim, because Ashkenaz means the area in Germany, between Germany and France.
Mm-hmm.
And those who went to Spain, called Sephardim, which also today included all the Jews who live in the Middle East.
Okay.
So very close to Islamic culture and the original culture of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Versus in Europe, you can find a lot of other influences. Of course, they're all Jews. I want to make this clear. But it has been shifted and tweaked according to where people lived.
Right.
So I belong to the Jews who were in the Middle East.
You mean in Israel land itself, you have these two or three groups?
There are 3 groups.
Okay.
Very old, very ancient history.
Mm.
One is those European Jews. And they're all Jews, all brothers. The other one is those who were lived under the Islamic regime, whatever place was that. Me personally, my parents are from Morocco, North Africa. Right. And you have another group of Jews that were living in Yemen and Saudi Arabia till they were kicked off.
Right.
And we're not allowed to stay there. So they were living in Yemen. Mm-hmm. So every area has been surviving from a Jewish point of view in a little bit different than the others, according to what they had in their environment.
And you come from Sephardim?
Sephardim, yes.
Sephardim, okay.
North African specifically.
Right, right. And it has a Spanish influence?
Yes, in pretty much any aspect. The philosophy, the music, the food.
Okay.
All kind of... it was like a symbiotic with the environment.
So how many languages can you speak then?
I'm not perfect, but I grew up with Arabic and French.
All right.
And Hebrew and Aramaic, and we're speaking in English right now.
Right, right. So 5 languages.
Yeah, you can say so.
Great, great.
What else I can tell you about that? When you speak to American, when they are talking about Jews, they are talking about all kind of groups that are European mainly. So we're talking about conservative,
okay,
reform, and Orthodox Jews.
Uh-huh.
Or modern Orthodox, which is another branch. I would say that Sephardic are a little or more ancient than that. Those group has been shaped or called that name less than 300 years ago. Mm-hmm. Through all kind of shifts in Europe. The cultural revolution, the industrial revolution, and stuff like that.
So you grew up in the land of Israel.
Yes.
But your parents or your grandparents came from?
My parents and grandparents came from Morocco.
Okay, great. Can you speak Moroccan?
A little bit.
All right.
Now, don't ask me to do it while broadcasting.
Okay. Now, why do you choose to become rabbi? And what's the prerequisite to become rabbi?
That's a very good question. First of all, you have to be devoted to learn the meaning of the spiritual journey of the Jews. So you have to accept that there is a set of laws that you cannot play with. Okay? And there are foundations of faith that if you decided to play with them and this yes, this no, then you are already on the way out. So you have to be very, very devoted. And what triggered me is that I see that those foundations are a little bit forgotten, or people don't really know and not talk about that. So questions like, what is God? Where is God? How do we relate to Him? Can we relate to Him? And stuff like that. It's very rare. Most people are that I know are dealing with how to do the things that the Torah, and Torah, I'm referring to the written law of the 5 books of Moses. And all the details, and they are very important, of course, but there is a higher level than that. Mm-hmm. You do things, you want to know why. You want to teach why. You want to explain to yourself and others. So I was very intrigued to learn that. And I was lucky enough to find some good teachers.
Right. So in order to become rabbi, it's not like to get the doctoral or master degree in America. It's more on the following the rabbi like that.
This is part of it, but the most important is, and I will give it in a contrast to the other ways of other religions, how they do that. You go to a theological seminar or a madrasa, and you spend a few years there going over the laws and learn all the details. And then if you paid also, you get your diploma.
Yeah.
There are some institutions in the Jewish world that do the same. Yet, I don't like to be in an institution. Mm-hmm. So I found, I was lucky enough to, God has sent me to find very unique teachers, and I did pretty much one-on-one.
For how many years? For how long?
Well, it's all my life, but specifically on that, it's about 7 years, something like that.
Following him, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, and others.
Right, right.
So the idea to be a rabbi is not just the Jewish part; it's also the humanistic approach. Mm-hmm. Is my approach is very simple. I learn from everybody that can teach me how to be a better person.
Right.
Of course, I want to be the best Jew I can. But if I'm the best Jew and I'm not a good person, something is missing. So right. when I came across people from different places, different religions, and while talking to them, they inspired me or something like that. Regardless of religion, I'm still a devoted Jew. Mm-hmm. But they like open my eyes to something. I will grasp on it and think about it and develop it.
Now, is there any degrees in rabbi?
Not really. You have rabbis, you have judges,
uh-huh,
that are dealing with things that are rare to the regular people. All kind of, you know, neighbors argument, husband and wife, divorce, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
They are specify themselves, you know, on that laws. Mm-hmm. But to be a regular rabbi, if you use this term, is much easier than that.
Right.
And to be a judge.
Okay. So being a rabbi, you can teach in synagogue.
Yes. And outside of the synagogue.
Okay. Right, right. normally, So being rabbi, you don't have to have degree, but rabbi is a recognition, correct?
It's a recognition first of your teacher.
Uh-huh.
If your teacher think that you're ready, mm-hmm, this is like, yeah, it used to be the old days, right, when you have a master and disciple. Mm-hmm. Just going to a school is important, yet it will not mean that you're a great leader or mm-hmm spiritual leader. Because to open the books in our generation, which the information is all there, mm-hmm, Google, Amazon, all those,
yeah,
buy the book, learn it by heart, you know the Jewish law.
All right.
Okay, you don't have to be even Jew for that. You can be a PhD in Judaism. Mm. Doesn't make you a rabbi.
Right.
Right? You mm-hmm can teach, and it's very nice, but there are much more important things than that.
Right.
So you have to get recognition from other rabbis, mm-hmm, that are, of course, recognized by other previous generation.
Did they give you letters, papers?
Yeah. Okay. I have a paper.
All right. Cool.
In our generation, everything you should have a paper for.
Right, right. Okay. So it's not easy, in other words, to become a teacher, which means rabbi, correct?
Yes. Rabbi literally means teacher or a person who guide other
okay
people.
Right. So if I like to be a rabbi, I have to spend time living with another rabbi like you.
That will be a very good idea, and you have to be a Jew.
Okay. Right. So I'm not a Jew, so I cannot fulfill the requirements. Anyway, folks, we are going to take a break right now. We'll be right back after this message.
Long TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. If you're in the Denver metro area and you need internet, get it now for $1 a day. No bundles, no hassles, and only a 12-month contract. For more information, call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355. 1355.
GECS, Corporate Identity, Custom Graphics, and Website Design. For more information, visit their website at www.gecs-us.com. Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
folks. We are back again with Rabbi Hananiah Cohen. He has been sharing with us about the journey to become rabbi. And right now I'm going to ask him about what's going on recently, just very recent. In September, the last part of the weekend of September 2014. Now, Rabbi Cohen, can you please explain to us what's going on?
Sure. Well, the Jews have a different calendar than Christians and Muslims. And the way that the ancient scholars did that, according to the Torah, is we use the moon and we use the sun. For example, the Gregorian calendar, which we use today, is mainly by the sun, or only by the sun. So you can have holidays sometimes in spring, sometimes in fall or winter. Mm-hmm. And according to the Torah, that's not the way it should be. We are supposed to celebrate Passover, Pesach, when the spring is the season. And if you only go by the sun or by the moon, then with the days, with the years, you are shifting a little bit forward. So sometimes it will be in the summer.
Oh, okay.
And so in order to prevent that, the way that Jews have calculated, they use the sun and the moon together.
Which one that they focus more? More on the moon, like new moon?
New moon is much easier because the course of the sun is one circle every 28 years.
Yes.
Versus the moon is one every 30 days, mm-hmm. almost. Okay?
Yeah.
So the moon is very important because 28 years is not a long time.
Right.
But every 3 years, we are adding another month to compensate on the differences between the days of the sun, which is 365 days a year, right? For one circle.
Yeah, 365, yes.
Right. And the moon is, I think, 354. So you have 11 days gap.
Oh, okay.
So every 3 years, what we do, we add another month, which gives you 30 days, and sort of resetting the cycle.
Okay. Just like a lapse year that we have every 4 year?
Could be. You can say something like that. Yeah, yeah, February is a good example.
Right, okay.
Add another day,
yes,
right?
Yes.
29. So we add a whole month.
You add a whole month. So
once every 3 years.
Okay, so is that means that you have 13 months on that year or
yes.
still 12?
13.
13 months only for that year.
Yes.
And then tell me what's happening.
So we have 12 months as well.
Uh-huh.
And the first month of the year is called Tishrei. Okay, and the first day of that month is the beginning of the new year. And this is in Jewish tradition, what we call the judgment day, not in a Christian point of view. It's not the end of the world. It's
right.
just where you going to be judged according to what you have done through the year, the last year.
The last year, okay.
Yes.
So who's judging it?
God.
Okay.
So you can think of a big scale that they put your good deeds and the not so good deeds on the other side.
Right.
And I'm going to make it very simple, but if you have more good deeds, then you're going to have a great year. If you have not so good deeds, not a lot of good deeds, and the negative things are more, this is why you want to use this day to remorse and regret and pretty much ask for forgiveness.
So during the New Year celebration, you are using it to contemplate about the past in order to move forward to be a better person. Is that correct?
Definitely. And it's not just you. It's not just the person. It's mm-hmm. also countries and cities are being judged as well. Mm-hmm. So you can be a great person, but you live in a place that is not so great. People are, negative and not nice to each other, mm-hmm. and they're going to be judged together. Okay? And same with countries. You're going to have wars, you're going to have peace, you're going to have a lot of prosperity, mm-hmm. or you're going to have financial difficulties as a nation. Mm. Okay? And the idea is to get to the new year with understanding of what you need to change.
Right. And then during that time, how many days do you celebrate this?
The new year is 2 days.
2 days, yeah?
Yes.
And
the first day is the most important.
Uh-huh.
The second day is a bonus for you if you really didn't think about it yet. You have another day just to focus and meditate and pay attention to what you need to change in your life.
So what happened in Israel land during that time? Everything closed and everybody sharing their food or what? Celebration.
Well, like other Jewish holidays, you go to the Jews go to the synagogue.
Okay.
And most of the days, like half of the day, is praying. Uh-huh. And there are certain things that we need to fulfill. Certain mitzvot or certain deeds that the Torah tells us to do. Mm-hmm. And of course, when we had the temple, it was much bigger and more involving. But since we don't have the temple for the past 2,000 years, so people go to the synagogue and pray and blow the shofar, which we're going to talk in a few minutes mm-hmm. about. And then they go and being with their families and eating and being happy of the understanding of what they need to change in their life.
Now, in the calendar, or Jewish calendar, or biblical calendar, the day began
in the evening before.
At sunset.
Yes.
Not in the middle of the night.
Correct.
So, when the sunset comes, then what did you do? You light the candles or what?
You light the candles, you accept the new day.
Uh-huh.
There's, of course, special prayers that we follow. Mm-hmm. And then the day started. You're going to go home, have a meal, dinner with your family, mm-hmm. and learn Torah, learn the laws, and then go to sleep and wake up for the continue of the day.
Right. No, I'm curious. During that time, is the radio and the television are off, or are they still broadcasting, or what?
According to Jewish law,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm talking about the old law.
Right. This is in the Israel land.
Also here.
Okay.
Also here, those who are observing the law as it should be, mm-hmm. You can call them Orthodox, you can call them just Jews, mm-hmm. but they are serious about it. Everything is off. Radio, car, TV. Total focus on the spiritual thing that you need to do.
But not electricity.
You are not, let me maybe explain it a little bit more. You are not using your phone.
Okay.
Okay. But the lights are on.
Okay.
But you're not taking them off.
All right. So it's a pure, it's a like 100% dedication.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a very good way to explain it. Thank you for helping me with that.
Right. And so during that time, I mean, help me to understand. During that time, there should be no bus, no cars on the road in Israel land, correct?
Should be. But there are people, either they are not Jews or they are not aware of how important the Jewish holidays are.
Uh-huh.
And they are driving and doing the regular stuff.
All right.
They are a little bit missing the point of the whole day.
Mm. Missing the blessings?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what about the...
But ideally, that will be the situation.
Okay. What about the restaurants or supermarket? Are they still open during that time?
Usually closed.
Okay. Majority closed. Is there any other stores open?
Well, if the owner is not Jewish, he's not uh-huh. obligated.
Okay.
He can be open.
Right.
And if he's a Jew that feels that he's not obligated, he can do whatever he wants as well.
Right,
it's
right.
It's a democracy after all.
Right, right. So I guess if I'm in Israel land and during this time, I guess there is no police, so I can just driving or
I wouldn't don't count on it.
Okay, no. Okay.
First of all, they have cameras.
All right.
Second of all, emergency services are always on.
Okay.
Either by Jews or by non-Jews that are joining the force.
Oh, so the hospital is still open too?
Definitely. People need to be treated.
Yes. Right, right. So 911 is still operates.
Yes.
Wonderful. So tell me more about the celebration. What do you eat? Is this a special food?
There are some special food, but it's mostly symbolic stuff.
Okay.
For example, fish.
Uh-huh.
Fish is very symbolic. Mm-hmm. Also, I think in Christianity as well, but
yes.
This is not my field.
Right.
Pomegranate, for example.
Okay.
And stuff like that. They're all symbolic to show prosperity, to show blessing. And stuff like that.
So that's in the evening?
Yes.
And after that, the next day, do you celebrate by dancing or, you know, have a good music, have a good time?
Well, music is not allowed, as we talked before, because you use electronics or you create something, creating music.
Okay.
But dancing is good. Mm-hmm. Being happy is always good.
Right, right, right. So when family gets together, right, during this time,
yes,
you eating and you kind of drinking, right?
You can say so, but not usually because it's a judgment day. It's not like a regular holiday.
Okay.
When you have fiesta.
Uh-huh.
And you there's no singing, for example, not because it's not allowed, because you're focusing more on yourself,
right?
On your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to see, okay, I need to check myself. Mm. What's my balance?
Okay.
I'm good in a good position or in a bad position.
So it's more on the day of contemplation about the past and the future.
Yes.
Things like
Most
that.
Important thing is the future.
Okay.
But you have to fix your past in order to have a good future.
Right. Is that means that you kind of isolate yourself from the family or what?
No. No, not necessarily. The whole family, you talk about it. You talk about how was the year, what you need to change, what are your new goals for the new year, things that you know, some people have the same goals over and over, but nothing changed. So,
right.
So you want to create some kind of a support system, a support group mm-hmm. To change,
mm-hmm.
to be better.
Wow. Okay. This is something interesting because I personally never knew about that. And I believe that the audience out there would like to ask questions. So if you like to ask questions, you can send email to us and I will let you know when we come back. There are two emails that you can send it, but it's kind of long. But let me let you know when we come back. So we are going to take a break. We'll be right back after this message.
Christ the King World Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit internet Christian radio station. And at this time, we need your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. And thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. Beat the high costs of other international money transfer services in the Denver metro area. Call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the hosts or guests of the following program may or may not be those of the staff or management of CTK World Radio.
Folks, we are back again with Rabbi Hananiah Cohen for the Jewish View program. And right now we are going to continue about the discussion of Rosh Hashanah. Now, is that always on the 25th of September?
No, definitely not. As I explained before, the calculation of the year depends on the sun and the moon, and it can change. But we count the days different. Mm-hmm. So this year, the first day of the year started what we called September 25.
Wow, okay. So
but it can be any other day around that.
Right, right. So if you are not in the Israel land, what did you do? Because the date is kind of different. The time of started is different from country to country.
That is true, but you do what you do according to where you are.
Okay.
So in Israel, while I'm still celebrating here in America, they're already done.
Right, correct. Okay?
And when I am still doing my regular daily stuff,
they already pass.
They are already in during the holiday.
Uh-huh.
So, but eventually we all do it the same. 2 days here, 2 days there.
Mm-hmm. So the food are being prepared before the date, correct?
It's a very good question. Unlike Shabbat, the Saturday, which we are not allowed to cook, during holidays, we are allowed to cook.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And of course, there are other halachic terms and conditions how to do it.
You mean the law or regulations?
Yes. Halachic means, halacha means the Jewish law.
Okay.
Okay. So we are not just, you know, turning on the stove and put things in the oven.
Not even, during the Shabbat, not even the turning on the microwave oven?
During Shabbat, no.
Okay.
And during the holiday, Rosh Hashanah or any other holiday, the answer is no as well.
Okay.
But if I want to do a barbecue, for example, on Shabbat I cannot do that because the Torah says you should not light a fire, right? But on a holiday, I can take an existing fire and use it to start my barbecue, for example.
Right, right.
So I'm not creating fire from nothing. I'm using an existing fire that I prepared before.
Uh-huh.
Okay, like a candle or anything like that.
Okay.
To stay longer.
Okay.
And I take fire from that fire.
But you do have oven like here, like electric oven?
Yes.
Okay.
And I am... What I did this year, the oven was on the whole 3 days.
Oh, okay. With the food in it?
No, then it will be burned.
Right.
I can put fresh food and take the cooked food out. Okay?
Right.
But not turning on and off the oven. This is part of the Jewish law.
Right. Or more on the Jewish law or Torah?
Well, for me, it's the same.
The same. Okay. All right. Okay. Great. Great. And after the celebration, the second day, there is something unique that you have to do. What is that?
This is actually the first and the second day. It's called the shofar. And the shofar is actually a horn of a sheep, usually.
Okay.
And
any horn, or a special shape of horn.
The shape is not that important.
Okay.
The animal is important. Usually we use sheep or male sheep. But if there is no choice, you can do it with other animals as well. But it have to be what we call the kosher animal.
Right, like so, goat?
A goat.
Okay.
You don't take, I don't know, a rhino or anything like that.
Right, okay.
And okay. There is a way that this horn has been processed, and eventually you can blow and create sound from it.
Right.
And to hear that sound, that's the mitzvah. Mitzvah means the deed, that the obligation that the Torah tells us to do, and we're obligated to hear that sound on Rosh Hashanah.
So is it a certain time that you blow that shofar, or any time that you can blow?
During the day, of course, if you go to a synagogue and during the prayer, there is a section where you do it. But if you did not participate in anything, you have the whole day to do it, to hear it. Okay. The obligation is not to blow, is to hear.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So in the land of Israel, I bet there are many shofars being blown at the time.
Oh yeah, it's like a whole symphony from all the corner of the street.
Oh wow.
Yes, it's I mean, you can also hear it in America as well, but it's not, of course, powerful and create the same effect as in Israel.
So do you go out to the street and then blow it, or do you blow it from your house with the window open? What?
No, I blow it in the synagogue, or okay. If there is no synagogue, for my own.
Right.
Nobody is obligated to hear it beside me or other Jews that are with me. I don't have to go to the street and blow a horn.
Right. Okay. So this is something unique that I would like to learn more. And after that, it just happens that the third day comes to Shabbat. So is there any special things that you carry on from the Rosh Hashanah to the Shabbat?
The main thing is that since you don't have a break of a regular day in between, so the laws of the Shabbat are still on, meaning no lighting fire, no checking my cell phone and my email list and stuff like that.
Okay, shut down.
So it's 3 days of shutdown.
Okay.
Which is it's a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
Quiet. You just want to focus on your life, on your family, on your goals for the new year. Mm-hmm. During the daily days.
Yeah.
During the year, we are busy.
Yeah.
Your work, we have issues with the kids, with the school, we are learning, whatever we are doing. Mm-hmm. Listening to the news, stuff like that. We don't have the mindset. But when you shut off everything, then you can actually focus.
You can fully dedicate.
Yes. But it's not depends on the attitude. If you're sitting and counting the minutes to get rid of it and to be already to go back to your regular stuff, you're missing the whole point.
Right. So what happened with the kids then? When because they wanted to keep going.
Then they have to learn to do new stuff. They have books. We talk. We play. Stuff like that.
Wow. So they are learning how to...
They are learning, and the family is together, which is very important. The family is the most important thing. And you want to have good relationship with your family.
So can you play games during that time?
Not electronic.
A board game?
Yeah.
Like Monopoly, those kind of...
Well, we use Monopoly is a great game, but we use games that have a spiritual message.
Okay, all right.
And, to change yourself, or learning about the Bible or anything like that. Some kind of holy or spiritual effect to the game. It's not to waste the time. It's to use the time wisely.
Mm-hmm. So during this time, on the 25th is the first day... 25th of September is the first day of the Rosh Hashanah, which is the New Year's of Jewish calendar.
Yes.
And then the 27th comes on Saturday, which is the Shabbat. And after that, on Sunday, there is something going on. Well, what is it?
It is a fast day.
Uh-huh.
Now, originally, this is supposed to be on the third day of the year.
Okay.
But because it was Shabbat, we moved it.
Okay.
to right. the next day, because we're not fasting on Shabbat unless it's Yom Kippur, which is going to be next week.
And Shabbat is the happy day or what?
Shabbat is the spiritual day.
Uh-huh.
Of course, if you are happy with spirituality, it's going to be a very happy day.
Right.
Okay. So this day that you're referring to, the fast day, is in memory of a tragedy in the Jewish nation that happened during the destruction of the first temple. And we can talk about that if you want. We have a few minutes more, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so during the after the destruction of the first temple, when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple, we had Jeremiah as the prophet of the destruction. If you read the prophet, you will see all the things he warned the Jews that will happen, and they didn't listen to him. So Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the temple. Mm. And many Jews were slaughtered and killed and also exiled to Babylon.
This was the first...
The first temple.
Okay.
And later on, there was Nebuchadnezzar allowed the Jews, to some of them, to stay in the land of Judea.
Mm.
And the leader of that Jewish group was, his name was Gedaliah.
Okay.
But when politics came into the picture, then you have opponents. And there were some people who were not happy with Gedaliah leadership, which was basically, we accept that we lost the war against the mighty Babylonian, and they wanted to create an ally with Egypt, mm-hmm. which was against Babylon.
Mm.
And of course, Gedaliah consulted Jeremiah, and he says, no, Babylon is who you need to obey, and not don't go with Egypt. And eventually what happened, that Gedaliah was assassinated by his opponent. And after he was assassinated, Nebuchadnezzar said, well, if you cannot get along with each other, no Jews should be allowed to stay in Israel. And also those who stayed also were forced to leave.
Mm.
And this is why we are fasting. It's not just his assassination. It's also the fact that it was the end of Jewish settlement and living in Israel until 70 years later we came back.
Right. So Gedaliah was killed during that time as a leader. And who replaced him?
No one. This is the tragedy. No replacement. Everybody should leave the country.
Mm.
Go back to Babylon.
Because of that.
Right.
Wow, what an event. So, Gedaliah, obviously, it's a hero there. That's why you have a feast for him, correct?
We're having a fast. We're fasting. There is no food allowed or drinking.
Okay.
Okay. It's not about him, it's more about the nation. That his death, his assassination was what pretty much closed the era of Jewish living in Israel under Babylon.
Wow. Wow, folks, we are going to continue more about this when we come back. So stay with us, and we'll be right back after this message.
Flow TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org. Do you need reliable international long distance that starts at only 1 cent per minute? Then call us at World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, please call us at 720-275-1355.
At GECS, Corporate Identity, Custom Graphics, and Website Design. For more information, visit their website at www.gecs-us.com. Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
Folks, we are back again with Rabbi Hananiah Cohen. Today we are discussing about the Feast of Rosh Hashanah that ties in with Fast of Gedaliah. So Gedaliah becomes like a hero for Jewish people. That's why you have fast for him?
Gedaliah was the leader, but he's not the hero. The tragedy is on a national level.
Uh-huh.
Because his assassination, then Jews were not allowed to stay as a community in the land of Israel. So this is the end of an era, in a way. Until 70, I mean, a few Jews left to live in Israel, but they were like singles.
Right,
Here, one there.
Okay.
But as a nation, only 70 years later, that's already the Persian Empire. Jews were allowed to go back to the land of Israel.
So it's kind of tragic. After you have Rosh Hashanah, and then it happens, this fast of Gedaliah, is it?
It's very tragic.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And then, so that happens on, for this year, folks, September 2014, it happens on the 28th of September. Now, after September 28, which was Sunday on this calendar, then there is something coming up soon, which is very important. What is it?
Well, this is considered to be the most important day of the Jewish calendar.
Uh-huh.
It's called Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement.
Okay.
Where, historically, this is the day where Moses get the second tablets after the first one were broken.
Uh-huh.
And this is the day that God forgave the sin of the golden calf and gave the second tablets.
Right.
It's pretty much considered to be a gift for the Jewish people because it shows the mercy and love of God to the Jewish people, to us. Because all the world is judged on Rosh Hashanah, as we explained before.
Uh-huh.
But Jews have 10 days. From Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, it's 10 days. 10 days to think about it again, and if they need a second chance, they have it. So it's a day of atonement and asking forgiveness, and make sure that all the things you thought about on Rosh Hashanah, you're gonna apply them.
Okay.
And if you didn't think about them, this is your second chance.
So Yom Kippur, is that a special meaning for the word Yom and Kippur?
Yom means literally day.
Uh-huh.
And Kippur is like kapara, meaning atonement.
Right. So during that time...
So it's a fast day.
Okay.
No eating, no drinking, no shower.
Uh-huh.
Not
even shower?
No.
Okay.
And it's 25 hours, pretty much.
Is that means you stay on the bed for 24?
No.
You go...
You do what you need to do. You go and you mostly pray.
Okay.
Mostly pray and once again meditate and think of the things you need to change and people you hurt. And you want to ask forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Most important things is to come up with a clear page towards God for what he asked you to do and you didn't do. And also for fellow humans.
Right. So after, on the 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, then comes to Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is only one day, right?
Correct.
And it just happens that this Yom Kippur falls on
Shabbat.
Shabbat.
Correct.
So is there any extra things that you do? Because it's a combination of Yom Kippur and Shabbat.
Well, usually on regular Shabbat, we eat, we sing, we celebrate. Not on this Shabbat. This Shabbat is, as we mentioned before, we are fasting.
But you are in synagogue.
Yes.
Okay.
We're in synagogue, we pray, we ask for forgiveness.
Uh-huh. So is that the same as the scene on the Wailing Wall where people keep nodding so many times? Is it
the Wailing? Well, the Wailing Wall is a very important place. This is the wall that belongs to the wall that was surrounding the temple.
Uh-huh.
And it's today, unfortunately, it's functioning like a synagogue.
Okay.
But any synagogue, you can see people, you know, are bowing and nodding themselves and pray.
Uh-huh.
Ideally, we should all do it on the Temple Mount, as it used to be. Uh-huh. There was a whole ceremony, very, very big, and most important things of the highlight of the day was Yom Kippur on the temple.
And during this day, no more slaughtering of the animals,
no,
or sacrifice,
nothing.
So you haven't had any sacrifice like that?
Since the destruction of the temple, the second one, there is no sacrificing.
Okay. So everything is symbolizing?
Symbolizing, and mainly we pray.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so no dance, no singing. I mean, singing still there, right?
It's special special songs.
Okay, certain songs. Okay.
That, you know, are creating excitement, and it's soul direct. It's not about dancing and having a good time with music.
Mm-hmm.
It's about waking up the soul.
Right, right. And after that, after 10 days of the beginning of the year, after Yom Kippur, you have another celebration that coming up. What is that?
This is called Sukkot.
Uh-huh. How many days is that from?
It's 7 days.
7 days, okay.
And it's mentioned in, of course, we do it because it's the Torah tells us to do that. God has written that in the Torah. And it's actually very interesting because those 7 days are praying and sacrificing and asking for the nations,
mm-hmm,
to be better, to be
for
prosperity. Yes.
Wow.
It's not about the Jews.
Uh-huh.
The Jews have certain deeds we have to do.
Okay.
But, for example, once again, during the temple time,
mm-hmm,
we used to do all kind of sacrifices also for all the nations. For them to, and there were non-Jews who came bringing sacrifice.
Mm.
Even though they were not Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the main thing that you will notice if you go to a Jewish neighborhood in Israel or even in America is that Jews are not living in their houses. They are going out building some kind of a hut or a sort of a tent,
mm-hmm,
in a way, and eating there and sleeping there, and like living, getting out of their comfortableness. And be, you know, in the sun or in the snow. It depends where you live.
so they are going out from the comfortness to the uncomfortness, like this is, living in the snow, outdoor, open air.
Pretty much. The idea, one of the ideas of that is to show how you accept what God tells you to do.
Is it, by the way, is there snow in the land of Israel?
No.
There is no snow. So
maybe rain. Maybe light rain, usually.
Okay. How about the temperature during that?
It's okay.
This time? So it's comfortable, basically. It's not too cold.
It's not too cold.
Right, okay. Okay, so in America...
In Denver,
yeah,
last year it was snowing.
Okay, yes, okay. So during the snow time, what do you do? I mean, do you still doing it or do you just modify it by staying at home and then...
It depends on the person, but technically you're not obligated to stay and suffer the snow.
Right, okay. So during that time, you don't cook food too, right? You just
eat? No, we cook, we eat, we sing, we celebrate, we show our love to God.
Oh, so what is
this? This is a happy time.
The happy time, the Sukkot. Sukkot means what? Tent?
Tents or a hut.
A hut. Okay, so it's not a permanent house.
It's not a it's not a permanent house.
Wow.
It can be made of wood or tarp or anything that can pretty much show some kind of cover.
Right, right. So it's a day of celebration.
It's a 7 days of celebration.
7 days.
7 days.
From the day of Yom Kippur.
No. The first day of Sukkot starts 4 days after Yom Kippur.
Okay.
See?
Yes.
And it's a 7-day celebration, people usually go when they travel and they're visiting their neighbors and stuff like that.
So you can drive the car here?
Yes.
During that, this time. Okay. So 7 days of celebration.
Let me refer that. You can drive the car not on the on the first day.
Okay.
And not on the last day. But in between, you can.
So that means you can travel.
Exactly.
Okay. And do you bring food? And how do you do it back home?
Well, all kind. As I mentioned in the beginning, that all kind of Jewish customs depends on the culture. But you pretty much go out and you either host or accommodate other people, or you go to some other people that you want to visit, and you eat in their hut, and stuff like that. And you create love between the people.
Wow.
Because, you know, when you go to somebody, to someone's house, he have his china, he have his art, he have his sofas. Mm-hmm. On Sukkot, everybody is equal. Everybody is out of the house.
Right.
So there is no point of feeling embarrassed or getting arrogancy. Mm-hmm. Look at my house. It's like I have this and all the thing I collected through the years. Mm. In Sukkot, everybody is equal, and we try to create a society that respects each other, regardless of what you have.
So rich and poor gets together.
They should.
Okay. And what about the dress? Would it be a same dress, everyone wearing it, or what?
No, there is just, you know, nice clothes.
Okay.
Nothing specifically.
Yeah. So being a rabbi, do you have to wear your own clothes so that people know that you're a rabbi, or during that time?
Some people do that. I don't hold by it, really.
Okay.
I regular person.
Right.
If people want to learn, I'm willing to teach. But I don't see any reason to put, you know, a sign on me. I'm the teacher.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. This is missing the point.
Right. Wow. So this is very interesting, just to get to know that there is a 7-day celebration. Folks, I cannot imagine if we can do that in America here. But you're doing it, right?
I'm doing it. People who are financially independent are doing that. People who have to work are not allowed to work on the first and the last day, but they can work as they have to.
So that's why it is better for you to become financially independent.
That's correct.
In which many of the Jewish that I know are financially independent.
Yes.
Wow.
We don't have a lot of financial stuff, but you want to take your own days off.
Okay, wow, very exciting. Well, we are going to continue, folks, with more discussion. We'll be right back when we come back. Thank you.
Say thank you for tuning in to our show.
Okay.
And we'll see you soon.
Okay. Let's do that. Folks, we come to the end of the program, and I would like to suggest that we
if they have any question, they can send the email.
That's right, the closing part. Folks, we come to the end of the program, and I would like to suggest you, if you have any questions, please email us either customerservice@worldmediaministries.org, customerservice@worldmediaministries.org, or you can email to our rabbi directly to call Hesed V. Emet. Let me spell it. K for kilo, O for Oscar, L for Lima, H for hotel, E for echo, S for Sam, E for echo, D for Delta, V for Victor, E for echo, M for Mary, E for echo, T for Tango @gmail.com. So folks, please tune in next time we are on the air again. Thank you very much for listening.
Christ the King World Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit internet Christian radio station. And at this time, we need your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. And thank you for listening to and supporting Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King World Radio at ctkradio.org.